Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 434 of your Overseas Connection podcast. We are a video game podcast of mature, fun-loving, good-natured, angry Canadians, to angry Irishmen even. We're just a fun group of people. We like to talk about life. We like to talk about video games. And so for the next hour and a half or so, I think that's what we're going to do for you. I'm one of your hosts, Greg DeLacy, gamertag OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter and Murphy's Law on Xbox Live, and also OC underscore Murphy's Law on Steam. Yeah, there's that. joining me this week, we have hailing from the wall, north of the wall, we have Mr. Robin Tate in the great winter.
Yeah, winter's coming.
It's coming.
Hi, everybody. It's Robin Tate here.
Robin, is it cold there?
Yes, I had to put a jumper on tonight. Yeah, and I feel a cold coming on. I felt it all day today. I've been out with a power hose for most of the day. But that's probably why. Unseasonably cold. Unseasonably cold, but right. It's just cold, just generally cold. It's a crap summer here. Absolutely pathetic. It's slightly warmer than San Francisco, but it's cold and wet and horrible, and you can do nothing. But in this nice warm room with a dark beer, which is indiscriminate. Well, I don't know what it's called. It's got some Norwegian type stuff on the back of it.
A logo, if you turn it around, you could.
Yeah, yeah. I have no idea. I can't read what it says. It says Silly Fred. I have no clue. It's a random bottle from my magic fridge. And I'm here podcasting, and I'm glad to be. And I'm glad to see a very strange looking person from north of the wall, very north of the wall.
Yes.
Up there as well. I'm glad to see him back. It's been a long time since
Hello!
I heard his dulcet tones. He's gone all. I was going to say an old word for happy. He's gone all gay on us.
Yeah, perhaps. A little bit. Yeah, it's good to be back. Absence makes the heart grow fonder, so they say.
Proper introduction, Fraser Moores on the show.
Hi, Fraser.
It's been a while. It's good to be back. Pop in. Yes, nice to see you, gentlemen. Hope you're all well.
Yeah.
Well, outside of Robin catching a cold, I think we.
No, I'm okay. No, I'm all right. No, I'm not. No. Use ones in America seem to go down all the cold all the time. I have a cold. I will get through it. I am fine. I'm just saying. It's like lads here. I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm just saying. I just feel a bit, you know. Podcasting. Let's carry on. Fraser,
it's
you were on
here.
Holidays. Yeah.
It's hot here. We're not having the best summer, but it's still hot. I'm sweating buckets right now. It's great. And 35. Yeah, Greg's got 35. We're going to be up in the mid to high 20s, I'm sure. And I was on holiday last week. We went up to an island up about 4 or 5 hours north of here.
Is that called the North Pole?
No, that is a long way away.
Greenland is
a lot. But funny you say that. We were staying on a campsite. Huge campsite, and we were staying on Manitoulin Island, which is the largest freshwater island in the world. Just a little fact there, and it's also
FYI.
It's so big that it has lakes within it. So it lays claim to having the biggest island on a lake on an island on a lake. If you can work that one out.
No, sure. Too much information.
And also, you mentioned the Arctic. There were about 10 super decked out trucks and jeeps, you know, all with fat tires and snorkel exhausts and you name it, and things on there. They were all part of an Arctic expedition who were passing through. So that was going on. Yeah, we had a nice week. We lots of fishing, lots of activities by the lake, and out on boats and ATVs, and lots of barbecue and you name it. It was good. Nice to be away. It's very good.
You've embraced your inner man, your inner mountain man.
I did. Yeah, I decided I wouldn't shave, and I haven't shaved it off yet. So I've got this sort
holiday of beard.
How's the beard? How's the missus doing with it?
She likes it. She thinks it's okay. Yeah. If she said she didn't like it, I probably would have got rid of it. But she said she liked it, and some other people have said they like it.
Have you had the sexy time yet with it though?
Oh dear. Got a special soundbite for that, haven't we, Robin?
Yeah. It's business time.
Frig you, Mark. Right.
Ah, well played. And last but certainly not least on the show, spinning the discs in the background, Mr. Mark Wright.
Yes. Hello, Greg. Hello, everyone. Yes. Mark Alex on Xbox Live, PSN, Steams, Twitters. Yeah. How's it going?
Pretty much. It's going good. It's going good. I am actually drinking also it's more of an amber beer. There you go, Robin. That's one for you. Pale Ale, Sierra Nevada. It's tasty.
Tasty. I'd love to tell you what this is. It is quite malty. It's nice. Where is it from? I have no clue. Bergenmeister. It's like Swedish or Norwegian, but it's quite tasty. It's very dark, but it's cold and nice and
I'll find this a little odd. It's cold outside, and yet you're drinking a cold beverage. I would think you would be going for maybe a hot coffee beverage or something.
No, I had that earlier. Okay. Now I'm out here podcasting, and it helps me relax, especially when you're hosting, because I need something to take the edge off. So,
fair enough.
Yeah, and how's you, Greg? Are you well?
I am good.
Have you recovered down from the cold?
Yes. God, that cold sucked. Can I just say, summer colds are the worst. We might as well just jump into story time, Mark. Let's do it.
Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day.
All right. So, yeah, summer colds. They suck.
Since I've been away.
Yes.
Yes.
My son was coming down with a cold, and he's a special needs little boy, so he doesn't quite understand the concept of I'm not supposed to cough in your face, and I am a grown adult, and apparently I don't understand the concept of I'm not supposed to let him cough in my face. So repeatedly he was coughing, and of course I just was holding him and not even thinking twice about it, and sure enough, cough comes on.
Well, did you not have this cold last week?
I had it like 3 weeks ago.
So we're getting the repeat story time.
No. We never got into the cold because I actually stayed off the podcast because of my cold. So
I've heard about this cold already.
This cold went on way too long.
This is story time, isn't it?
Yeah. Always a cold.
No,
he's,
you know,
like, he's 6 weeks away from the next one.
Get the ladies back on. You know what? Get the ladies back on.
I'm just saying. I knew you had a cold. I heard about you having the cold, and it was like a bad summer cold. And you went to the doctor, and you got some antibiotics.
The doctor did fuck all. That cold stuck with me another week and a half after the doctor visit. I was miserable.
Am I imagining things though? Didn't you get antibiotics?
Can you see the stream?
I did. Yeah.
Then, well, how do I know about this?
Shut up, Fraser. Shut up.
Because our listeners listen to this as well.
Well, I'm glad your doctor anal probed you and couldn't find anything wrong. So that's good. And you're fine, and you're wonderful, and it's great. And Mark up there is beautiful, and Fraser is very weird looking, really weird looking. I mean it's like
cause trouble. I throw Greg right off. Sorry, Greg. Carry on.
Fraser's going to shout Allah Akbar and blow up any second now.
Also true. Not that we're stereotyping you at all, Fraser.
Not at all.
All right. Well, anyway, so yeah, summer colds, they suck.
Can we just talk about the elephant in the room? There's something on Fraser's chin.
Nice beaver.
We've talked about that.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Nice beaver. He's got a beaver on his chin.
What have you let loose from it?
I'm just trying to.
What have I done?
Just an excuse to play that sound clip.
Can you please cue up the fail?
I think this is turning
sound.
Into the veteran gamers. I feel a bit like Mike Chin disrupting.
I just wanted an excuse to play
Duke in
that.
The background right now.
Nice beaver.
Sound effects.
Nice beaver.
I just wanted to play it because it's so good.
Nice beaver.
Oh, dear. Anyway. Yeah. All for O.J. Simpson again.
Sorry, carry on, yeah. Greg. Come on.
No. So, all right. We're past the cold, okay? We're feeling good. Diet went great. Lost 15 pounds. I feel good. I'm going to keep going, though. And more importantly, the most exciting thing happened since the last time I've been on the podcast, and that is NFL football officially is underway with preseason happening. Robin has picked a team. The world
is
starting to really feel right.
I was in the kitchen this morning watching a Cowboys game last night, doing stuff around the kitchen and a game on NFL game.
You've changed.
I know, it's terrible. It really is terrible. It really is.
The secret, Robin. Yeah, Robin doesn't want to tell anybody, but he secretly has an American flag tattooed on his butt. He's embracing America fully.
Robin is absolutely in the wrong continent. There's no doubt about it.
There you go. So I done my – well, sorry, we'll get into this now. Why don't we, Greg?
Yes.
I done my research over several weeks, lots of suggestions. None of them I've went with. And I've ended up falling in love with the Cardinals, the Arizona Cardinals.
Can I just interject real quickly? Yeah. That actually was my suggestion. My suggestion was find a team that you can get behind, that you want to root for. Don't worry about what everybody else is saying. Embrace it.
And well, it's a nice glad place to visit.
I don't know. Well, the reason was when I look back, I suppose they're the oldest team in the NFL, which is very nice. Last year, everybody sort of had them pinned to be
it's
up there.
On Wikipedia. It's good.
They thought they were going to be. They thought they were going to be there. Thought they were going to get to the Super Bowl. That everything went really well, and then all fell apart completely and utterly fell apart for them last year. And that's sort of the underdog thing, you know. And they're not a top team, but they're in the top 10. They're in with a shout. And I've just sort of fallen in love with them. I like them, the Cardinals. I'm a Robin. And it just so happened this morning I came across a documentary on Amazon that spent a year with them in the 2015 season. So, so they had their first game last week. They played the Cowboys. They lost by 2 points, but it was a good game. I believe this is the preseason stuff that I'm starting to learn about. They play again in about 4 hours' time, 3 a.m., so I'll watch that in the morning. And you guys are up this week for the second preseason week. You guys are playing, Greg. These are going to get out there. So I understand this now. So they start off with like 100-odd players, and they whittle it down to 53. Isn't that correct? And that is their
correct.
that's their starting lineup then for there. So when
where do the other 47 go?
They get kicked to the curb, and they try to latch on to other teams, but likely they then become managers at your local car wash.
Yeah. So. It's interesting. We've got some interesting players, and it's fun. And the Madden thing is just over my head, but we'll talk about that in a while, I'm sure. So it's good. I went actually to buy some stuff from the shop, T-shirts and bits and pieces, and there was a special offer on with 20% off and free shipping, except the shipping ended up turning to be about 60 quid.
Hang tight. I've got to put an order in with one of our suppliers, and if I can hit the $300 mark, I get a free T-shirt. That's where I got my Broncos T-shirt. I'll try and get you the Cardinals T-shirt.
Excellent. Good lad.
This offer was never given to me. There was never an offer from Fraser to say, hey, Greg, I know you love football.
Yeah, but he only gets shirts for teams what are any good is, apparently.
Sorry, well,
careful,
what I touched on it last week. What I have discovered is I always thought it was, like, you know, it was stupid. It was stop, start, stop, start, stop, start. And, there, you know, it was just brute force. But I never realized there was so much technical thought put into each play. And I didn't even understand what the downs thing were, how many, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 and all that, and what was that, the yardage and all that. I really didn't understand it. But I just, as the more I look at it, the more how complex it is and how interesting it is. So, yeah, well, I'm still rearing away. Go Cards.
Yeah. I mean, football in many ways is the ultimate RPG. You've got players that you're pulling in, you're trying to upgrade, yeah. You're trying to space. Build them up.
Boy!
You've got strategy. Fuck off! All right. Anyway.
Sorry. All right, I'll raise an issue. And even though I like to apologize to our listeners in advance in that putting Robin back on the topic of his holidays, I know we've only got about an hour and 20 minutes left, so I'll try and keep him to a minimum. I would like to hoist Robin up on a certain point. Is that it was fantastic hearing about his wonderful holiday, and I'm glad you had a great time, and I'm glad you met up with Greg and your families got together and stuff. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You did one thing on that holiday which was gaming related, and you gave it like literally 10 seconds on the podcast, which was going to the Pinball Hall of Fame.
All it deserved.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, I wasn't getting a lot of reaction. Okay, well, I did. I talked about it, and I talked about the shop.
It's a tough crowd, wasn't it? You got the right crowd here now. So
yeah, okay. Yeah. So we went along, and you're absolutely right. We went to the Pinball Hall of Fame, got an Uber over to it. You come into a dodgy part of Las Vegas. You end up outside this warehouse.
It's not the same as the Strip, is it?
Which kind of looks kind of dodgy. It reminds me of the VG Hub when we done the gaming thing up outside.
Yeah, real quickly, for those people, yeah. real quickly, let's paint a proper picture. Everybody knows the images of Las Vegas, right? You see the massive street with all of these beautiful hotels lining it, and it's glamorous. Let me just say, Fraser, you can corroborate this. Robin, you now can corroborate this. You go just one block left or right of that strip, and you are thinking, I'm going to be robbed at any moment.
I can tell you. I stayed at this in January. I stayed at the end of the strip in a beautiful hotel. It was fantastic. Right. I went out in the morning to go for breakfast, walked around the corner of the hotel, and noped it straight back into my hotel.
Oh,
there's no way.
Yeah, well, side note, the night we arrived there in Las Vegas, I had the fuel in the car. You know, down, you know, I was counting it down like 30 miles, 40 miles to go left in the tank. And we got into Vegas and went, right, okay, as soon as we get to the hotel, because we had to pick our tickets up for the Penn and Teller show before it starts, an hour before it. So we get in, didn't have a lot of time, but we need to go and find a petrol station. So into the sat nav, petrol station, gas station.
Right.
And we got to the point and it wasn't there anymore. And it was a building site. At this stage, we're in a dodgy part of Las Vegas. The car now says 0 miles to go. And oh God, please be this next one. Please be there. Please be there. So I pull into this gas station and there's gangbanger type people walking around. And I walk into this and the till people are behind a cage and there's strange people slurring their words, bang things, and I couldn't get into the car fast enough. I was just waiting for a drive-by bongo shooting. Oh yeah, but no, you're right, one block off. So anyway, so this place is in an area like that. It's a warehouse. There's no fancy writing up on it, and but you go in, and as I said on my review on TripAdvisor that I put in for it, The star of this building is not the building. The star of the building is what's in it. And it's a collection of these fantastic old arcade gaming machines, but mostly pinball machines from the 40s right up. Some of them have a little bit of history on them. It's fantastic. Now, Fraser had asked me to try and get him a T-shirt because their shop wasn't open. I expected there'd be a shop in this. So I went sort of looking around it. So down the back, there's the bit where there's like welding guns and tools, and there's bits and pieces of old machines lying everywhere. And it looks like there's charity boxes there. And there's a guy with wild hair that looks a bit like Doc from Back to the Future in fixing things. So I go, excuse me, sir, excuse me. says, oh, yeah, for refunds, go and speak to him up there. If you've lost quarters, go and speak to him. No. I'm here at your shop. I'm here for the T-shirts. My friend was here, and he said, get a T-shirt. No, I don't have T-shirts. And he was like in another planet. He was like, he really was Doc from Back to the Future. So he's probably the owner, just kind of right. Wacky. So the owners of it are these nerdy guys just love these machines with all their hearts. And Joshua, who missed all of this stuff because he's 17, he missed it all. But he was impressed, I think, with all that stuff.
Right.
And we spent a couple of hours there, spent $20 of quarters, and he had a good time. I had an absolute blast. It was brilliant.
I'm showing it on screen now, Robin, and we've got the original sit-down Star Trek arcade game, haven't we?
Didn't see it.
Yeah, and a load of bubblegum machines.
Yeah, bubblegum machines.
They have lots of little things tucked in. I mean, pinball is what it's all about.
Yeah. Pinball. I played Donkey Kong and Dig Dug and Tron. Yeah, if you remember Tron, the upright car, the sound from it was brilliant. Playing it and it was great, super. But even more than that, Fraser. When you leave there, if you just go to the right, there's a video game shop, which is
almost spent as much time in that shop playing. They had a Lethal Weapon 3 pinball machine in there.
Yeah, it was, and just going around at all the old arcades and going, oh, I could buy that, I could have that. But again, there was a movie memorabilia shop which just opened in February called Nerdgasm, and we went in through the door. And this guy went, "Hi, welcome to Nerdgasms." And it was Peter Dinklage. He was a wee dwarf guy, and he came straight over, and the hand was out. Peter Dinklage, "Hi, Dan. Hi, welcome to the shop. Come on in. We just opened in January, and your man from that wrote all the Spider-Man movies. He opened the shop. Here's my photograph. Here's my selfie." And that's where I put the photographs of the T-shirts of the Shat and stuff like that there. And I bought this fantastic clock, or no, this thing behind me, this Death Starbucks thing in there as well. So yeah, if you're in Vegas and you're, well, if you're listening to this, you've got to go there. It's a no-brainer. And thank you, Fraser. It was brilliant. It's just a little bit
off the beaten track, which is pretty cool. If you know, it's away from the stuff that you would normally do. As an aside, I just thought I'd mention that just down the road from me, in a place called Guelph, it's called Guelph, just down the road. They are holding right now the 7th World Dwarf Games.
Really?
I kid you not.
I don't mean to offend any dwarf-sized people that are out there, but it's not every day you bump into a dwarf-type person, and one that shouts, "Welcome to Nerdgasms!" It sort of threw me for a six. That would probably be a fantastic day to go there.
To what?
That would be brilliant.
Dwarf games.
Yes, the dwarf games. It would be great.
Soccer also. So yeah, I'm looking at it.
If we were there, right? Four of us right now. Okay, I bet you we couldn't last 30 minutes without going, Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage.
No, I guarantee we probably would be kicked out within 30 minutes.
We're gonna get probably banned from the internet now because I've got it on stream.
Some of my best friends. Oh, here we go. There you are. So, yes, thanks for asking, Fraser. It's great. If I ever go back to Vegas, I would go back there again, definitely. I think I give it a 5 out of 5 or whatever it was, or 10 out of 10 on TripAdvisor as an experience. So
I would also recommend checking out Olympic Gardens when you go to Vegas.
No. What's that, strip club?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, so what did you do when you were camping? Did you play pinball?
When I was camping? No, I know. There was no pinball. We were in the island was very, you know, there's nothing going on that island. Like,
did you play Let's Hide the Children in the Forest and Let Them Find Their Way Back?
No, that would not be a wise thing to do in the forests of Canada.
That might be, depending on how you feel about your kids.
Depending on the state of your patience and what time of day,
Did you come up with an idea for a new video game, like Unravel? You know, did you come up with something like that? No?
Sorry, Robin, you're breaking up there. I couldn't...
Did you come up with the idea for a new video game? Like Unravel?
No, I think actually, you know, my son came up with an idea for a video game he was talking to us the other day. So I can't tell you what it is. I've forgotten already, but I have to have a think. I know he was saying he was talking to us about something. So,
you know, well, very attentive father. I forgot what
it
was.
So this is yeah, related. Anytime Fraser talks about going camping, to be honest, my immediate thought is I immediately think of the game Alone in the Dark.
Why?
It's a survival game. It's got snow. Yeah. It's up, you know, that's what I think of.
Yeah.
So I just imagine Fraser alone in the dark fighting.
It was very dark. Actually, I'll tell you what I didn't tell you was we stayed on a massive campsite, which was split into two. Half of it was normal campsite, but we stayed on the other half. We rented a cabin on the other half of the campsite, and it was an astronomical part of the campsite. So it was recognized by the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada. And therefore, as soon as it got dark, you were not allowed any white light. You were not allowed campfires. You were not allowed anything. So it was an amazing view into the sky. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Did you have to use like red light flashlights or something?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
What's a red light flashlight?
But the thing was, there was no one else there. So you use a red light because if you use red light in the dark – your eyes stay adjusted to the dark.
It doesn't beam as much light either. So that's what they would use in like World War II, that kind of thing. I mean, you basically
– You remember.
Back in
no,
the day.
I just have the smarts.
Oh. Did you see any lights or shooting stars or anything? Any satellites passing over?
I did. We did see shooting stars. Well, we've seen shooting stars. We've seen you can see, you know, if you go out and you can see, we saw lots of satellites. We may have seen the ISS. I didn't check my flyover times, but we have seen the ISS space station flyover before. That thing is huge. Yeah, no problems. Yeah. You can see that from the ground. We didn't see any planets. Saturn was out of view, but you know the Milky Way was just streaming across the sky. It was cool. It was really neat.
A nice tip for Christmas time is that we use the ISS as Santa's sleigh passing over on Christmas Eve.
Oh yeah.
So yes, we get up with the ISS, the little app, and then bing, 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 5 minutes beforehand, and kids, Santa's coming. Look,
that's perfect because it motors that thing right across the sky, right?
So yeah. Speaking of kids, from tomorrow evening, from about 7 p.m., my kid quota is going to swell to 8 for the next 7 days. 8 children. Yes, I'm in for a hell of a week. Hell of a week.
Whose children are you borrowing?
Stealing.
I've got some incoming fosters. So, right. Yeah. Incoming.
Good luck with that and well done, Robin.
Yeah. Exactly. Good job.
Okay. I have a couple of quick recommendations for people. This is my quick Amazon advert for Audible. I have came across a new book series. I mentioned this to you a while ago, Greg, but I've started to listen to it. It's narrated by R.C. Bray, who we love because he does our some of our other series that we really like. And it's called The Mountain Man. And it's cheap. There was 3 books in the whole omnibus, so you could buy them with one of their credits. It's a kind of a Walking Dead zombie thing. This guy up in a shack after the apocalypse thing has happened, he's up there and his adventures, and he's a hard drinker, and it's humorous and funny, and it's narrated by this fantastic guy. So if you're looking for a listen and you like Walking Dead type stuff, that's brilliant. The Mountain Man, brilliant, good. And also in the Bobiverse, book 3 is out now, Greg. Book 3 in the Bobiverse.
So is this the abridged one though?
I don't know. Don't think so.
Oh, no, wait. I'm confusing books. My apologies.
Yeah. Bobiverse. Yes. You're thinking about the wee short Trouble in Paradise or something, which I started to listen to and stopped, actually. No, but the new Bobiverse. Yeah, Bob. It's out there as well. So, yeah, definitely check out The Mountain Man, narrated by R.C. Bray. Very, very good. I'm actually on to the second book of it.
Okay. I'm going to contribute to this conversation right now. I have an Audible book recommendation, I can say. I actually just started a book called Super Carrier. It is by Scott Bartlett. It's narrated by Mark Boyette. And what I like So some narrators, and this is the plus or the minus to audiobooks, because there's some narrators out there that really don't give any kind of voice acting to their narration. They just kind of read the book as is. And when they're not trying to assume different characters, it makes for quite boring, quite a boring read. So this is one of those narrators that actually tries to assume different character roles. He'll do the different voice inflections, that kind of thing. So it makes it for to me a much more entertaining experience from an audiobook. It's a good sci-fi book. It's about space and spaceships and battles, that kind of thing. But it's lengthy, which I also like. Anything over 10 hours, I'm always a thumbs up for my audience.
We all like a bit of length.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Oh, yeah, well, another thing that happened this week. I got another car. And now my new car is coming, but this car came and it is fully loaded with tech, like almost too much. It has this thing that when you change lanes, it recognizes that you're changing lanes and it sort of pulls you back the way you were going, as if to say, hey, you're not changing lanes. Have you fallen asleep? It's really kind of weird. And so it has this lane.
Is that a good thing?
Have you still got the Adam?
No, I don't. No.
What have you got now?
They've sent me up, it's a Opel Insignia, it's like the modern Cavalier. It's an Opel, an Irish version of it.
That would be nice on a long drive. Yeah. I get that. You're maybe kind of dozing off a little bit, so the car's like, yeah, get back in your lane. But it would kind of irritate me if I was actually trying to make a lane change and I felt it was
I've been switching it off, because it's – yeah. But it switches itself on every time. And it has this – I haven't tested it fully, but this the automatic stop, it'll automatically brake for you if you get too close to the car in front and shit like that there,
I like that, but you haven't tested it yet. That's a good thing.
Yeah, well, that's nice. So my new car arrives at the end of the week, hopefully, but I'm happy enough to drive this for a week or two until the other one comes.
What are you getting? Are you getting an Audi?
No, I'm actually changing away. I've had this, that was my third Audi. I'm going actually just for a Volkswagen Passat this time.
All right, okay.
Yeah. Don't like to drive anything too fancy for work because it gives the wrong signals. So, but it's I have it coming fully loaded, and I'm going automatic.
DSG, DSG gearbox.
You've not been automatic?
Never. No, there's no automatic cars in the UK unless you specifically order them. Yeah, everybody drives stick shift over here.
Yeah, you know what's funny is we have seen like an increase in the US of getting away from sticks. I mean, those are hard to find now. Almost everything is automatic.
Yeah. There's no, I would say probably it must be as little, you could look it up, but it's probably as little as 5% of all cars in the UK are automatic.
Well, I'm going to
say that's about, you have to, Greg would find it. Sorry, Mark. I was just going to say, Greg, in the UK, if you want to take your driving test, you have to take a specific different test, or you did in my day.
Yeah, you do, yeah.
For automatics.
Yep.
Otherwise, it's a given that you're learning to drive a stick shift, standard.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Hold on. So you actually have to take a different test for an automatic car.
Yes.
Yeah.
Only if you want to drive. No, right. If you want to drive any car, you have to do your test in a manual.
Okay.
But if you only want to drive automatics, you can just do the automatic test, which is easier. But you cannot. Yeah, you cannot legally drive a manual operated gear stick in with an automatic license,
unless you wear a pointy hat with a D on it.
Gotcha. Now in the US, they handle that a little differently. In the US, it's just you get what you get as far as a license, and you get what you get as far as a car. It doesn't matter. Yeah. So there's plenty of people out there. Like my first car was a manual stick. I had never driven a manual stick, but I bought that car and I learned coming out of the lot with my dad.
Yeah,
perfect.
Well, I'm just going to blow Robin's mind now. This Volkswagen Passat you're getting it'll have a DSG gearbox. We have these on our Skodas at work. And they look like an automatic. They drive like an automatic, but they are not an automatic. DSG stands for direct shift gearbox. So a computer changes gears for you like an automatic would, but it's not fluid operated like an automatic gearbox. It's really fancy stuff.
Oh, good stuff. Mm. Well, it's just
but it's an automatic.
But it's an automatic, yeah.
I think
they're really good. They're really good.
It's about a, I think it's about 180 brake. Yeah, that'll do all right. That'll do me nice comfy, and I have it nicely loaded with all my tech. So
yeah, that's what nice we have. We have the Skoda Octavia four wheel drive version for our rapid response motors.
I can spend 7, 8, or even 9 hours in a car in a day, and it needs to be comfy for me because I spend more time in the car than I do in my bed or in somebody's bed.
So, is this a video game podcast?
Yeah, let's move on. Let's nicely done, Mark. Mark is just going to take over. I was going to ask Robin about this note. I see a hose in the notes, but
walked off.
Yeah, exactly. Tough. Let's talk about video games, Fraser. Since Robin has run away, probably to get another beer,
got a jingle.
Let's talk about.
We got a jingle?
I've got a jingle.
Oh, we got a jingle. Yeah. We got a jingle. Of course we got a jingle. We got a jingle for everything.
I want to play a game.
You are one pathetic loser.
And then.
I just came back in time for that. Is that for me?
No, that's for Fraser.
Sorry, okay, so for most people who know, probably the big one that I'm going to talk about, you know the big one I'm going to talk about. It's a given.
PUBG for life.
But PUBG for life. But I'm grossly aware of the Dirty 30 list, and I'm starting. I'm not saying my honeymoon with PUBG is over. I'm just saying I'm becoming a little bit more aware that there is life outside PUBG, and I'm coming up for a little bit of air.
Well, the honeymoon is over, but that doesn't mean the marriage is over, right?
Oh, God, no, the marriage is definitely not over, for sure. Okay. It's, so I'm trying to chip away at a couple of games. So I'm chipping away at Transformers Devastation. I'll just sit down every so often and just I've been rattling out a chapter. There's a certain amount of chapters in it. I'm not gonna lie. I'm playing it on easy. I'm sitting down. I just want to get her done. Right.
Right. Get her done.
I would like to have had more love for this game because it's a platinum games.
Right. Platinum games. Yeah.
Who most people would know are responsible for Bayonetta and one of my favorite games and I think one of the best games of the last generation, which was Vanquish.
Vanquish.
Yeah. Also, according to the internet, game of the year that never will be Scalebound.
Yes, that's true. I was looking forward to that, unfortunately. And you can see that Transformers Devastation is quality. For the fact that it's an IP like Transformers, a movie stroke cartoon tie-in, it's very slick. It's very cool. It's very well done. And you can see that there's layers of combat there, of scaling difficulty, of opening up new things and playing around. I can see why people like it. Personally, I just want to get her done. But it's okay. It's all right. I mean, I don't know if any of you guys have given it a
didn't
crack.
Get on with it. Didn't get on with it. It was on with Dirty 30 and I've given it up.
Oh, you haven't, have you? I mean, it's doable. Well, I think it's definitely doable. And in fact, the more I play it, the more fluid I'm getting with the fighting. And I think if I had the mindset of playing a fighter, like I know that those guys know what they're doing, right? So I know that there's potential there for this to be an excellent fighter. I'm just not that interested in it.
Playing it on, Fraser?
PS4.
Yeah, because it was free on PSN, wasn't it, a while ago?
That's where I've got it. So I'm just trying to get that done. And you know what? It's not the worst time sink that there is. I'm also playing Sniper Elite 4, which is another one on my list. That one I'm feeling far more guilty of trying to get through. I've got that one on the lowest setting, and I'm just plowing through that. That is a very...
How many nut shots?
not that many. I can't... You know, when you're a pro MLG player like myself, Greg, you know, you're always going for headshots, okay? As funny as the nut shots are, right? MLG Pro.
Right.
But that game is quality. That game is a really good game, whether you're playing that on your own or whether you're playing it with others. I've played some co-op with my son and some friends online. It's really well crafted. The levels are excellent. And if... You're right there. Sounds like a pub going on there.
Oops.
And if I was playing it on a harder difficulty, I would be playing it more like I think it's meant to be played, taking your time, making sure you're sneaking around a bit more. And I could see myself going back to it as well. At the moment, I just need to get this Dirty 30 list done. So I'm just trying to cross these games off.
You're better than I. I derailed from my Dirty 30. I mean, I've still been playing old games, but yeah, I got off of it. I'm aware of it.
Yeah, but I haven't. I can't. See, look, I'm looking at that face. For me, I'm looking at that face up there in the top right hand corner. And when I say I'm trying to get this Dirty List, a little
always
smile,
judging me,
little
always
smile.
Looking at me,
well, yeah,
looking at me, judging me, looking at me, judging me.
His expression changed as soon as you started saying what you said. I mean, like, yeah, I exactly. say, I'm committed to it, and I am going to get that list done, and it deserves to be done. And so far, I think, if I'm not mistaken, only one person's finished the 30 so far.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I'm guilty of not updating, so I need to spend time. I'd hoped to get it done last week, but it just wasn't possible. So I need to update the totals. You're very, very close, Fizzer. I know.
I could taste it, and I really only got derailed by PUBG. That really screwed me over properly.
Dear God, but
derailed
is
an understatement.
You're just playing it so often. I mean, that the chat group is still unbelievably active.
Yeah.
Screenshots and videos. You're so in there.
Yeah. Well, I've also we're nearly at PUBG. So I've also been playing Really Bad Chess, which is an iOS.
Is that actually the name of it? Really
the
Bad Chess.
Yeah, the name is called Really Bad Chess, and I'm not sure how I found it, but I saw the name and I was like, I should check this out. I don't know why. And I have played chess in the past. I'm not a massive chess player, but I like it, and I've played in the past. But I don't really like playing chess computers. But this one, it basically just gives you challenges, but it totally mixes it up. So you could be playing again. You could it doesn't stay true to the real rules of chess. So it can give you a row of like four bishops, three rooks, couple of pawns, and two kings and one king. You only have one king, but four queens or something like that. So, and you've got to beat the opponent who has a completely different setup as well. And it just, as soon as you sit down to do that, everything you know about chess is out the window, because now you've played chess in the past.
Yeah, the slow first 10 moves are gone in this game. It's straight into it. Because the first time I played it, I moved my pawn two spaces, and then all of a sudden it got taken straight away. And I went, what? How the hell did that happen?
Yeah, and it's from his fourth bishop that you weren't looking at over there.
It is an interesting little game. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so it's a little bit different. So that's a little thing I've got on the go. It's cool. And then, of course, PUBG. So let's just get to the meat of the matter.
Aren't we done talking?
No, God, no. We haven't even started. Let me tell you about PUBG.
Well, Fraser, okay, look, I know you've never gotten chicken dinner, and you probably never will.
Whoa!
So do we...
Hold your horses.
Yeah, easy up there, Greg. So chicken dinner did come quite soon after I started playing. Once we were playing squads, we got a squad chicken dinner. And Sammy's
But Fraser, you've never, like, you know,
solo.
Feasted yourself. Yeah.
Solo chicken dinner.
Right. That's the ultimate, isn't it?
Until 2 days ago, when finally the RNG gods smiled down upon me, and I got down. I've made it to the last two on a few times. And
right.
The thing about this game is there is people talk about the RNG gods, which is random number generators. So, you know, when you get down to the end of the game, the circle movements are not set in stone.
Right.
So, you know, you can get down. We played a game today and the circle just suddenly moves. You know, it's got a number of places the circle can go to in its next stages. We played earlier today. It moved. It's totally screwed us over. You know, suddenly instead of having a great position, we had a terrible position, had to come up a hill against these guys and we got screwed. I played the other day. I got down to the last two and the RNG gods were in my favor. The circle just gave me the position behind this rock. I saw the other guy. He was behind a tree further on, but he had to come to me. I was in the circle. He had to come to me. And so now heart starts to really, this is it. This is, I can see this one could be the one. And I tried not to get too excited, tried not to just shake myself to death. And, but my position was so good. I had an automatic AK. I was ready for him. I had the advantage behind the rock. I knew he had to come into the open. How could I blow this? How could I possibly blow it? And then classic. I love this guy. I wish I recorded it and go back and find out who he was and talk to him, because instead of coming at me, like leaving with guns blazing, he got into a car and tried to run at me with his car, which basically now you're in a box in a death. You're in a coffin, right? Cause you can't do anything. So I'm just going to unload a clip into the car and I kill them.
Right.
So it's good. I'm great. I'm super happy. That gets a massive monkey off my back. It's I'm stoked.
Was it really, was that weighing on you?
Yes.
Was it, you know, oh.
Yeah, because you're playing and you're just like, can I do this? Can I ever win? Will I ever win? I mean, because you're actually
kind of in elite status if you think about it.
You haven't won until you've won. Yeah, just winning like propels you up to like the top 10% or something like that. So
yeah, like that girl that wouldn't give it up, and you eventually get your way, you're gonna just lose interest now because you
give her enough alcohol. Got your way.
Yeah, eventually. So that's it. Now you're gonna move on to the next challenge. So that's I'm looking forward to coming to the Xbox. I really am. I'm hoping that it'll have a lot of the community stuff. Probably not as much.
You know what? I mean, I can't. I still love it. You know, I played more today, more last night. I am not losing my enthusiasm for this at all. It's changing. You know, the way we play is changing. We're getting, you know, particularly in our groups now, we're still having a good laugh. We're far more relaxed. We make far more reckless things. You know, we're not so scaredy cats anymore. But at the same time, we also get more annoyed than we ever did before when things don't quite go the way we want them to or whatnot. But that's, you know, it's still great. We have a great community. As Robin was saying, you know, the WhatsApp group is still lots of us going back and forth there. But it changes because you have different team people coming on at different times. So your team dynamics change. And then you can also just go off and play on your own. They introduce first person now. So that has completely changed the way the game plays. Because
I was going to say, so I mean, I'm assuming you've played first person.
Yeah.
What's your preference?
I started first person this week and I found it a very big change. And I didn't get on very well with it, but I've played a lot more in the last few days and I'm starting to warm to it now. It's going to take a bit of getting. I've already played 200 hours of third person, right? So getting used to first person is just going to take some time. It's great. I love it. The updates are great. It's getting better. It plays better on my machine every week. They make an update.
What kind of outfit do you sport, Fraser?
I sport the absolute basic outfit you can. I'm not interested in dressing up in anything. I saved all my in-game currency and bought a load of crates this week and sold them on Steam while the market is hot. I've reclawed half the cost of my game back in selling crates. So that all that madness is going on. Although yesterday we did all rock red shirts. It looked like it was Santa's day out when we all went out. But we found when we got into the final sort of 10 or 15 people, we started to crap it a bit and knew that we stood out. So we all ripped our shirts off and went with more neutral colors to stand out so much.
Okay.
But I'm absolutely committed to like this coming out on the Xbox too. I'm so excited. I'm super excited to join with you guys. And I can't wait to go down that journey with you guys and playing it because
I'm actually curious also to see how you get on with it on a gamepad versus mouse and keyboard.
I think it'll be okay because you'll be at a level playing field. The thing about this game is, yeah, you have to have some skill and, you know, it's taken me a bit of time to get used to mouse and keyboard and I'm still not like the best of the best or anything like that at all. But this game is way more than that. There's so much luck on what you get, decisions on how places you go, how you work with a team, how you play the circle is a massive thing, right? Where you decide to go and positions.
How
you
play the circle. That's that like terminology right there kind of excites me. I have to admit that's like a very strategic component to it.
It is because now you're looking at, say, the circle. Say you know what the circle was a minute ago, which was it was occupying, say, a third of the map. And then it moves to another part. It shrinks and goes to another part within that circle. Well, now you're choosing, do we go to the left of that circle where we think there might, you know, because we knew the plane went that way, there might be or the plane went a certain way, we think there might be less guys there. Or do we go to the west of the circle where we already know that that shouldn't have too many people there and we've got the sea to our back? So there is a lot more. It's not just – it's, you know, it just continually opens up these little strategies. Okay. And I look forward – I really, really look forward to playing with people and being able to sort of maybe pass that on and help out. And it's great. It's great. The community's great. We're having such a hoot. Mark, where have you been?
Mark, come on. Let's talk about what you've been playing, Mark.
No, I want to know where Mark's been. He hasn't been on PUBG for weeks.
I know, because I haven't had the time. And like you've mentioned, I'm trying to get this yoga out of the way because I'm conscious we're now in August and I've done a third of my games. So,
right. Right. Yeah. This is coming from the man talking right now that just bought a new game that is going to suck up all of his time.
What did you play?
Yeah. What's he
done? All right, well, start with last week, right? So we have
bought that, have you? Right, you are so full of doo-doo. It's unbelievable.
He's a dickhead.
Shut it.
Yes. Wankor.
Right.
Get off PUBG.
Last week, we had the play date on the Sunday, and we played Halo 5.
Brilliant.
I showed up for one game.
Yeah. And Greg, you missed it because we played for, it must have been three, four hours. Yeah. It didn't come off well about 10 o'clock at night. It was absolutely a blast. Daddy Icken joined us and who else joined us? Stan joined us for a little bit, but didn't last long. Or was that the week before? I can't remember.
That was a week before. So
we played, Halo 5. The first game we played, Greg put us into a competitive multiplayer game, and it was awful.
But then we got just capture the flag. We're just going to get our asses handed to us for a good 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah. But then Nicole took over and did the custom games, and we had so much fun playing every man for themselves. We all made ourselves a different colored team, and we had a right blast. It was so much fun.
SWAT.
Yeah.
SWAT was the star
SWAT
of the night.
SWAT was the best game. Yeah, brilliant. We love that game, mod. Which is headshots only. So, yeah.
Halo 5 is, quite honestly, one of the best games. I Microsoft, Xbox, whatever, put that aside. Halo 5 has so much to offer from the multiplayer side, but the campaign too. The campaign is good. Naysayers aside, I think it's a good campaign. It's a fantastic multiplayer complement that has got so much to offer, from the custom games to just the standard games, the assault stuff. I've always been super impressed with Halo 5.
Yeah, we had lots of laughs. Yeah. And because it's that sort of insta-gib thing, there was lots of effing and blinding at each other, right. And you sneaking up on each other, and it was brilliant.
We played hammer rounds and all sorts, yeah. I got the nickname the Pink Bastard.
Mr. Pink.
Yeah. Yeah, very much. That was good fun. That was a great night. Really, really good. So, poor Nicole wasn't feeling that well, but I think that sort of cheered her up a bit. So, it was good. It was a good night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that was the play day on the Sunday. And then, most of the week, one of the reasons I haven't been on PUBG is I've been getting up from work and I've been ploughing through plowing through Mad Max, trying to finish Mad Max. It's one of those games where it's good, but it gets tedious, if you know what I mean. It gets a bit repetitive and a bit boring. And it's taken some plowing through to get it done. But I was quite lucky because I'd done a lot of leveling up in the early stages, done a lot of side missions, so my character and my car was quite high level. So this past week, I've been able to just carry on with all the story missions. So I've got them done. The story takes quite a bit of a gruesome turn at the end. It's quite sad, really. Quite gut-wrenching and as in the world it's set in, it's quite horrific. It's good. I quite enjoyed it in the end. It just got that tedious, repetitive gameplay where you're taking down the cars or taking down a camp. And it was the same thing over again.
a lot of open world games, I think, kind of suffer from that because they're pretty big in scope, and then after a while, you just kind of hit that that stretch where it's like you're not really advancing the story all that much because you're having to level up to kind of get there.
Yeah,
I felt Skyrim was kind of the same way.
Yeah, but some of the characters in it were good. The guy who accompanies you in the car and repairs it for you and everything, Chum Bucket.
Excuse me, hold on, real quickly, Fraser, hot flashes.
I've got sweaty ears.
he's a fun character earbuds. And that, and some of the bad guys are quite fun and that. So yeah, it was okay. I enjoyed it. It's done now. It's off my old list.
Would you recommend this to other people that haven't played it?
I would for a cheap price. I know it's going really cheap at the moment. I actually got it mega cheap once on the PS4 in a sale, but I know it's been on a lot of platforms now. Cheap. I'd say if you pick it up for between £10-15, it's worth that.
It's
there's a lot of hours.
It's in the Xbox Game Pass. As part of that package.
So you could do the free trial. There's like a 2-week free trial, I believe, for Xbox Game Pass. Maybe do that. You can get it for 14 days free.
Yeah.
Play it.
There you go. Do what you like. Good, solid consumer advice, Greg.
Yeah.
Good.
But like, as Greg said, I did buy another game this week. But in my defense, it was a bargain.
Right.
The
PlayStation. Very small, quick, like, very few hours involved in this game.
Not really, but value for money. The PlayStation's got a summer sale going on at the moment, and one of the games on sale is No Man's Sky, which has been out for just over a year now. And it came out to a lot of criticism and a lot of backlash from gamers, but the team's been working away in the background, and they've just delivered another update to it. They've delivered quite a few updates, but there's just been one delivered this Friday, which adds more story mode to it. And a lot of other things, and then you can share your base building, because base building was added recently. And I got it for £10. So for £10, I thought, you can't go wrong with that.
Why not?
It's cheaper than a takeaway curry. And I've played roughly about an hour of it so far, just getting into it. It doesn't really hold your hand. It's a bit bewildering at first. You have to...
Can I just quickly, sorry, I just want to say, this is so your game.
Yeah.
Space this game. Is 100% your game. This is the kind of game you sink your teeth into.
Yeah.
And then we will not hear, it's like you will go into a dark room for like a month.
Yeah. And I know Richard Webster's got this on PS4. He's had it from launch from PS4, and he's just got the new update, and he's re-rolled a new character, and he started again from scratch, and he's loving the new update.
Mark, you were ripped off because I didn't pay £10 for mine. I paid $9.99.
I did get a penny change.
I bought mine today as well.
Yeah. You can actually get a takeaway curry for less than £10 too.
Yeah.
Quick question.
That's it.
We can for one.
Hold on. You said re-rolled a character. I did not realize you rolled a character.
You start on a random planet.
Okay.
And you've got a ship which is damaged. The starting screen has some text on it, basically saying you're waking up, you don't know where you are, you don't know how you got there, and there's this abandoned ship which is wrecked. You have to start getting resources to repair your equipment, which is your mining tool, and your visor thing, which scans items. And you have to repair everything because it's all knackered. And then you have to get resources to repair your ship. The thrusters don't work and this and that. And it's a bit
so real quickly, just want to put proper context to this.
Yeah.
So re-rolling a character then, really what that
you start
it does for you.
Start afresh.
Yeah, it's a new planet.
Yeah.
Right. New planet, different planet. So
new planet and you've no resources. You're starting from scratch. Because you can level everything up. You level up your exosuit, you know, your space suit.
Right.
You level your ship up. You can buy bigger and better ships. Because what I found early on is the lack of inventory slots. It's really restrictive. I'm already got to the point where my inventory's constantly full and I can't pick anything new up, which is a complete pain in the ass because I have to pick...
You're level 2 backpack, Mark.
Level 2 backpack.
Level 3, baby. Yeah, so Yeah, that's a bit of an issue at the moment, and I've just come across, I've managed to get my ship flying, and I've come across this base, so I've landed. And as I'm walking around this base, another ship landed. I thought, wow, that's cool. Is it a real person or is it AI? It was AI, so it wasn't a real person. And I met the guy in the ship, and he's talking his weird language, I couldn't understand him. But he basically offered to sell me his ship. So I thought, oh yeah, look at all this, he's got 20-odd more inventory slots than I've got. I'm going to buy his ship. Could I buy it? Could I bollocks. He wanted 1.2 million credits for the ship. I had 40,000, so that was a no-go. But yeah, it was...
Wait a minute. Mm. Did you do the proper thing then at that point and kill him?
No.
And take a ship?
No. I wonder if I could have done that. I might have to go back to that. But it is a possibility.
Mark, have you came across anything that hasn't been found yet that you've had to name yourself?
Yes. Because I'm on a starter planet, you always start off on a unique planet. Because I'm scanning fauna, vegetation, and animals, what I haven't been seen
scanning
before.
For life forms.
Yeah.
The life forms.
It does give you the option. You can upload the data to their main servers, and you can rename them. I haven't bothered, but I've just kept the stupid, like made-up Latin names for these animals. But some of the animals, like, do you remember the early days when this game came out? There were some, like, funny, like,
yeah, the
Jurassic Park
dinosaurs. Yeah.
Well, some of the creatures I've come across are really interesting, and I've fed a couple of them, and they get, like, a happy smiley face icon above them and that, and they start wandering around and following
We've
you,
lost so. Him. We've yeah. lost him. He's gone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Marcus, dark room.
Mark's feeding purple dinosaurs.
But yeah. I'm going to set this aside and put more hours into it later. I want to do my yog. I've got to do my yog.
Right. We believe you.
Yeah.
I'm PUBG.
So that's
Elite
it.
Elite Dangerous.
Not feeding purple dinosaurs.
I haven't been on Elite all week.
Yeah,
morning.
That'll be next.
Yeah. So, yeah,
Anything else, Mark?
No, that's me.
Okay. Robin, I'm excited to have this conversation with you.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you're going to be so disappointed in me.
Well, I already kind of know the gist of it.
All right. So, we'll talk about Madden. I put Madden on about four times this week. Now, the first part of Madden is... the training for newbies, right. You know nothing and you need help. I can't get past it. I cannot get past aggressive passes. I can get, but the other pass to run, POR, or whatever it is.
Pasta, so you have to,
there's this, the training for passing and throwing and stuff like that there. You have to get a perfect score. I just can't do it. The little bastards, you throw the ball and then and it just hits them in the chest and they run on. I don't know what to do. So I'm going to have to go to YouTube. I've literally went back four times and I just can't. And I could go in and just jump into a game, but I want to learn. I need to learn the technology, the speak, because there is, and I mentioned this last week, there is a big assumption that you know the basics of American football and terminology. True.
The tutorial, honestly, it assumes you already know football pretty well.
Yeah.
I have to admit. Yeah.
Yeah. So I am slowly working my way through that. But I haven't played a game. I haven't attempted even to play a game yet. It's just passing, aggressive throwing. And I like the aggressive throw where you jump up in the air and grab it. That's good. But it's working out. So when you start a play, right?
Right.
You can sort of zoom back a bit, and there's different lines the way your men are going to start running.
Right.
So I take it you have to decide on the fly as they start to move which one is the best to throw it to.
So here's – okay. So this is the greatness and the, in a sense, kind of downfall of Madden. Madden is complicated. It is complicated like real football. So when you're looking at you're getting ready to start your play and you pull the right trigger, it'll show on the field all these grid lines that are basically showing you the routes that your receivers will run
to try and take. Yeah.
Right. And so you go through what they call a read progression. So this is getting into the weeds of football.
Okay.
So as a quarterback, your job is you have your hot read, or your primary read. That's the red line. So that's the receiver that you're supposed to throw to first, assuming they're open. If that receiver is covered by a defensive back, then you're supposed to go to your secondary reads, which are all of the other receivers basically in the pattern.
So the red is okay. The red is the one that you – okay. It doesn't say that.
Yeah, it does take a lot of quick recognition. You're going to hike the ball, and as you're dropping back to pass, you're going to be looking at that receiver, the primary receiver. You have to quickly discern – is he open? Is he not?
We've lost
I know. Fraser just went off. But, I mean, in real life, this happens in roughly 3 to 5 seconds, probably closer to three. So in Madden, it happens within 3 to 5 seconds. And if you stay too long trying to read, you will get sacked.
Get sacked. I understand.
You'll get hit. You'll get tackled, basically. So, yeah, it is complicated. No lie. And it doesn't hold your hand very much. I would say lower your difficulty level, maybe.
Oh, I'm on the easiest.
Okay, perfect. Let's talk about Steam World Dig.
Yeah. So,
effect as well.
You know, I am new. Put it this way, I am new Carson Palmer at this moment in time. You know, really, I'm not. So
outstanding.
Boy, that's good work.
That is fantastic. Anyway, by the way, that is the quarterback of Robin's new favorite team, for those that didn't know.
Yeah. And 13th season, sore knees, rebuilt.
Boring.
Right. Fitz is there, the Uncle McCatcher. Anyway, boring. So SteamWorld Dig. I came across SteamWorld Dig, and I know SteamWorld Dig is really old. Forgive me. I mean, I know it was free somewhere, sometime, and somebody got it. And it was an original NES Steam game. It came out in 2013. It's a Swedish developer. Full title, SteamWorld Dig, A Fistful of Dirt. It's a Metroidvania-style platformer. It has kind of Minecraft-y bits, where you've got a pickaxe. So the idea is you are a little robot, steam-powered, in a Western setting, and you have to go and find your uncle, who is somewhere down in a mine, and you hack your way down, deeper and deeper. You mine for resources to upgrade your drill and your axe, and you get deeper, and there's monstery zombie things. And I have had a ball with this. This is just palate cleansing. Just a great little game. Finished it there today. The Xbox. £50, I think it cost me. It was really cheap.
I got it on PS4 a long time ago for about three.
Yeah, I think
three
it was,
or four quid.
Yeah,
really good.
Yeah, I know. We've been playing it on the 3DS.
Yeah.
Brilliant game. Really good. I think it came up the stats at the end. I think it took me about 7 hours to get through it. There's an achievement for doing it in two. I suppose if you really knew what you're at, you could do it, but. Great little diggy.
There's some areas what are thicker than others, like thicker rock, harder rock, and until you upgrade your pickaxe and your drill in certain areas, you can't progress, can you? So you have to earn some extra gold and jewels and go back to the surface and meet that guy from the shop. If I remember,
There's frustrations to it. I mean, if you haven't went back to the, there's these little. Transporter things that automatically zoom you back to the surface. So and it automatically saves your game. And if you don't have one of those and you're 400 meters or 600 meters down and you can't find where one of those wee transporters are and you killed, you have to, last 10 minutes is gone. Apart from that, thumbs up. Yeah. I mean, looking back, I got 10 out of 10s and stuff like that there, 9 out of 10. So
it's a cool game.
It's cool. Yeah. All right, nice nap.
Let's check it out.
Recommended. The only other thing that I did was I got my rare achievement this week for Mass Effect, so I am now officially finished with Mass Effect. That's that Strike Team one that I was trying to get, Mark. So popped.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's me done. The disc is coming out, and it will say bye-bye to me. Imagine I bought it on disc. That's the first game of Mass Effect that I'm going to sell.
Right.
Bit off.
So you don't fancy keeping it for the multiplayer then?
No. No, the multiplayer was all right.
I'm just going to throw a prediction out real quickly.
Yeah. It'll
probably show up on EA Access.
Yeah, pretty soon.
Yeah. And
pretty soon.
There's no point holding out for any extra DLC like you did with Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3 because I don't think there is any.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. Which is a shame, really, because I really enjoyed this game.
I mean, I love Mass Effect, the last one, the Andromeda. I had a great time with it. Really, really good. But I'm done.
Did you like the ending then? I asked this to everyone. I don't want you to spoil everything, but did you like the ending? I thought the ending was really good.
Really good. It's a great game.
Yeah.
If it hadn't been for the graphical crappiness at the very beginning when it launched, it would be up there. It's not the best, but high up there. It'd be higher rated than it is now. It's definitely not the... No, what's the worst?
Two's the best, I think.
Two
was awesome.
I think three got a combined
three
rap.
Was still
bad
good,
rap.
Yeah. And three only got a bad good. Rap because of that ending, but I didn't mind that ending anyway. But by the time I got to the ending, it was the new ending anyway, so I never saw the shit ending. So,
So, yeah, Mass Effect, I'm done. But, I put 100 plus hours into it, so I had a good time with it.
Okay.
So, busy with work this week, and Steam World Dig has been the main thing, and a bit of Madden. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We've covered most of what I've already played. So Madden 17, Halo 5. I've been playing a ton of Madden, but I won't dive into that. Save you guys. It's
no,
okay.
Go on.
No. Just been playing Madden 17. I'm in full football mode. Now, outside of this actually is kind of the life stuff kind of circling back into this. I'm in a fantasy football league with my dear hated friend, Gary DeFelice. Mm-hmm. We have a full, what we call an IDP league. It's a dynasty league. That means we literally draft for every position that you play. So offense, defense, you've got linebackers, cornerbacks, tight ends, running backs. Anyway, it's a much more involved. Yeah. Everybody loves a good tight end.
Yeah. Can imagine.
It's much more involved, but I've just been football has consumed me. So I'll save that. I won't talk about it, but let's just say I'm in full on football mode. Halo 5, fuck off. Halo 5, obviously I only played one game with you guys, but, for what it was worth, it was fun for while it lasted. Shadow of Mordor, I've been still continuing to dive into that. I was struggling with Shadow of Mordor at first because enemy crowd engagement is tough.
Yeah.
You get overwhelmed quickly. However, what I kind of learned is just to relax a little bit with it. So as you're getting surrounded by all of these enemies, Shadow of Mordor is actually much more generous, I think, than even Batman Arkham, the different Batman games in terms of the counter moves. You can kind of counter your way through dealing with the enemies. You just have to be patient. And far too often, I'll run out of patience. I'll start butt mashing a little bit too much. But as long as you stay patient, you can manage those enemies, the crowds, if you will. It's a really good game.
The main captains as well, if you look at them and read what their weaknesses are and play to their weaknesses as well, that helps a lot.
It does help. I'm still not terribly good at that. And I will say this, I've managed to wind myself into this area where there are these three different captains that keep showing up together.
Yeah.
And it's like, really? All three of you at once? Fuck off. Come on. Give me a break. But no, there's no breaks.
I found that in this game. Right early on, you die a lot because until you start leveling up, you get overpowered very easily. Once you start leveling up, it's good.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I think it's worth taking the time to start. Once you've started to probably at the stage you're at, Greg, where you've fought quite a bit. Mm-hmm. You're familiar with getting around the world. You can look after yourself, but it's now time to probably start collecting and getting those levels up. Start to level up and choose your skill tree that suits your strengths. Because there are some there. Once you hit a certain point, there's some beauty moves in there, right? So.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And I also found that opening up all the fast travel locations was also critical.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because if you don't do that, then you have to literally run from location to location. And more times than not, I was not the stealthiest of runners. You know, I was basically kind of just running into enemies constantly, and I was like, fuck.
Run, Forrest, run!
Yes, exactly. Last game that I actually just added in, because I totally forgot I started it up just yesterday, was Prominence Poker. I had not played it before. I had downloaded it. I had it sitting on my machine for the longest time. I had never played it. And gave it a whirl and was pleasantly surprised.
It's quite a neat game.
It's got some good character to it, too. You can play the single player. You can play in groups and play online. I think I would have a blast playing with you guys and maybe get an online game going of us all playing poker together. I think that would be quite fun.
Yeah.
There you go. That's next week. Then. There you go.
Yeah, we need to play it for next Sunday.
Yeah, there you go. Prominence Poker.
Little poker. Done.
Yeah.
But I find the character creation model also within this game. They use that kind of cartoony character, reminiscent of Team Fortress. Mm. The characters kind of remind me of Team Fortress characters.
Okay, what did you do? What did you dress up as?
I was the tourist. That was my nickname, the tourist, and it was just a standard goofy looking surfboard dude. That was kind of my dude.
Dude. Yeah, it works.
Yeah.
What was the 360 one that we had so much fun with? Was it Full House Poker?
Poker? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
And
that used your avatar, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So this is similar as well. And it plays. Very like
why
it.
They never brought that back? I don't. That baffles me. It was. They seem to have so many cool things that we were interacting as avatars, and they just. Didn't go down.
I used to love that. So 100 versus one versus 100.
One versus 100.
Yeah, I thought that was great. That
it was.
Yeah. One of my thoughts, I think they're actually kind of try and circle back to that, Fraser, because there's an update coming that's actually revamping the avatar system.
Yeah,
and coming it's back. Creating completely new avatars that apparently everybody's kind of raving about in the way they look and how many options you have with them. Like I love the game Doritos Crash Course. Uses the avatar.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic game.
Kingdom of the Kifflins. That was a great game.
Yep. So I would love to see more games take advantage of that. Poker is a perfect example. I would also love any developer out there listening to this. Please make a blackjack game.
Think about that blackjack. Poker game, Full House Poker. The best thing about that by a mile was just the fact that you could stare at someone. Remember, you just hit your left trigger and directional button, you just stare. Great.
Sorry, Teflon is saying in the chat there, it'd be nice if they made avatars relevant again. They are. There is a full revamp. I've read quite a bit about this, and it is coming again.
They're looking to revamp the achievements and the way they work, and potentially doing some kind of reward system behind that. So I would be down for that.
Yeah,
make them relevant again.
Yeah, no, that's about selling merchandise and T-shirts and hats and dress-up stuff. And I mean, I have a C-3PO outfit and an R2-D2 and a few chickens and things that I've bought over the time. And they aren't getting that revenue stream anymore, so of course they want to bring that back. Bring it back.
Odd that you chose chickens, by the way, given your...
Yeah, do you know what? Even with Halo 5 last week, I realized that my logo was a chicken, and that must have been done 6 months or a year ago. So, yeah, it's all... Ooh, spooky.
Breaking news, Robin Tate drawn to the cock. All right. Mark.
Yeah, that's all the way right.
Let's get off what we've been playing. Let's talk about some news.
Here is the fucking news.
Very nice, Mark.
You know what's interesting about that jingle? I've never admitted it. We were recording a podcast once, not long ago, only a few months ago. Story time, by the way. And I was laughing to my colleagues on Game Punches saying, you should hear Boss Wave's news jingle. And I said it was that one. I didn't realize it was our own. It's quite embarrassing.
Feel boat.
Boss Wave's is Streets of Rage with Chris MJW going, here is the news. Or something like that.
That's right.
All right, well, news. We've got some news. It's actually a pretty slow time of the year, so, I mean, this isn't the biggest of news out there. But ironically, somehow this piece of news managed to wind its way into our news feed.
I wonder who put that in there.
I have no clue, but somehow we have news about a No Man's Sky update. Atlas Rises is the newest update to No Man's Sky. It is giving a update to co-op, 30-hour story, procedurally generated missions, improvements to many of the game systems.
I'm going to jump in here and do this devil's advocate thing, right?
Okay.
He's fucking talked about it already.
I know. Did you not?
I'm not that professional that we have to like stick these.
Fraser,
it's funny you say that because devil's advocate, because that was my game handle in the Quake years.
So really?
That's what I was. Yeah, I was devil's advocate. Yeah.
See, this
just
is
learned
a piece
something
of news.
New about that. Would have been a great gamer tag.
Devil's advocate. Couldn't get it.
No.
I admire Mark for sneaking it in there and getting there.
Yes.
He's on the No Man's Sky train. Choo choo.
He is on the No Man's Sky train.
But he's pretty much covered that.
Yeah. But I think probably the most important thing about this update was that it actually added in the multiplayer, because apparently that still had not been added in yet. Yeah. So there. That's all we're going to talk about No Man's Sky now. Sorry, Mark.
Wait, can we slang him off?
Like, Canadian from, winter has spoken. Battlefield 1. Battlefield 1 joins EA Access. This continues to be the service that is not, a valuable service.
I'm quite surprised about this because they've just put Titanfall 2 in, haven't they? And then I saw a tweet from Battlefield saying that their game was now in the EA Access vault. I mean, the next tweet I saw was EA sending a tweet out saying this is now in the vault. So I put it straight in our chat. Yeah, so really cool.
I started
downloading it two days ago. It's at 50%. Great stuff.
I'd really like to know the financial model that drives this. Titanfall 2 I can get. I mean, it really wasn't, as great a game as it is, and we all think it's wonderful, and single-player campaign's fantastic, and multiplayer's fun. It definitely didn't do gangbusters like it deserves. But Battlefield 1, I mean, surprised to see what drives them to think, we can put that in there now.
I think...
You know what?
I think it'll be the DLC, what they sell on top of this, will make them more money.
Because the DLC won't be free yet.
No.
They'll leave that paid for another month or two.
People who get this free on EA Access will pay for the DLC because all their friends are playing it.
And I think they also realize that sales for Battlefield 1 are going to just drop when Battlefront comes out. Battlefront 2 comes out in November timeframe. So,
I suppose, Fraser, when you think about it, nearly everybody that's bought it in a new shrink wrap copy has bought it in a new shrink wrap copy. So it maybe gives, as Mark says, another little spin of this DLC and stuff like that there.
I think
so people can get up to date.
I would be interested to know the bookkeeping because, they obviously know through previous versions what kind of revenue they think they can get out of it normally through normal channels. And then now they also have run EA Access for a year or so.
I mean, if you think about what's in that EA Access package now, you've got Battlefield 1, Titanfall 2, you've got
Mass
all
Effect
the sports
Andromeda,
games.
By the way,
all
is in there.
Yeah.
It is already in there.
Oh, is it in there?
Yes, it's already in there. So, Robin, sell your disc. Wow. You're good.
Is it? Is it not just still the trial?
Garden Warfare 2 is in there.
Garden Warfare 2, all
Need
the sports games you could ever want.
Two Need for Speed games. Yeah. FIFA's
Battlefield 4. And then a lot of Xbox 360 stuff.
We should be on commission.
Was it 19 quid or something for a whole year?
Yeah.
I mean, it is very, very good.
$30 US, it's cheap. Yeah. It's cheap.
Very, very good. It's a good service.
And for those wondering, you can do game share with it. So if you are game sharing with somebody that has EA Access, you'll get access to it.
Yeah, well,
I was quite with someone who probably had EAXS, but he left.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Do you know what? You know what? The kids, where I am now, the kids don't come out here. It's really weird. You know, they're like friggin' tied to your apron strings. I could remarry you, but you've already bought another one. So
it's probably the big padlock you put on the door.
No, I could probably do it again.
Maybe we'll be like Charles and Camilla, and in the future we'll finally
come back together again. Yeah. We'll talk about that again.
Just don't drive through any tunnels.
Do you know what? For me, I was cock a hoop that Battlefield 1 went in there. I did buy Titanfall 2 a month or so ago when it was like 15 quid or something. It was really cheap. I wish I hadn't now. But having Battlefield in there is the spoils of your log, you know. So, my patience has proved worthy. That's good. I'll get to play it. So, brilliant. For free.
Or you know what, though? But I will just say this, Robin. I'm actually glad you paid for Titanfall 2 because that's a game that deserved to be supported.
Oh, that single player is fantastic.
Yes.
It is really, really good. And the new multiplayer mode, that Horde mode thing is
Frontier
really good
Defense.
Too.
Yeah, I love that mode. Yeah.
Speaking of games that may or may not be deserving of support, Xbox self-published indie titles, they exist. They now have their own place. It's called the Creators Collection on the Marketplace. So these are self-published indie games. So they're different from ID Xbox games. They're going to be much smaller. For lack of a better way to put it, they're basically kind of like one man shows type things. A lot of these games are free or like less than $10, even probably just like $1. I took a look at some of the games yesterday. Most of them are stuff that I'm not interested in. One was like a bingo card game, which in essence it was being able to play bingo off of your TV. So the TV screen had the bingo all out. Yeah,
boring.
I know. But there are a bunch of unique, smaller little collection, you know, games. They're not going to be. I'm kind of happy that they're not going to be filtered in with the main games.
Is this similar to the old 360 indie games? Then what were like 80 points for a game? Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yep,
look,
that's exactly
the marketplace is so massive now. It needs to be curated. It needs to be a way you can search it. It needs to be split down into smaller games, bigger games, and search by genre and year and all that sort of stuff. So they need to do this. So
yep. PS4 owners are getting a new update to their system. Part of that update for PS4 Pro owners is going to be giving them 60 frames per second on Twitch.
Oh, I'll be able to do that.
Is that to stream, download, or is that to upload and broadcast at 60 frames?
That's to broadcast. Broadcast at 60 frames per second.
Right. Wow, with my connection, brilliant.
Yeah, because as far as I know, you can only broadcast at 60 frames per second if you're partnered.
Right.
So if you're partnered, you're going to have a decent setup and you're not going to use your PS4 to do your streaming, are you?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I might be wrong.
I don't know. To me, it's Twitch, YouTube, 30 frames per second is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
You can also follow anyone's account now, not just well-known developers and video personalities. Let's see. If you're tired of having to go back to the home screen with your system notifications, they'll be available in a quick menu.
I think one of the important things that I'm seeing there, and this is relevant to me, is it says there that there's more parental controls and teens can have more freedom and whatnot. I am now cursed with the new generation of children. My kids, all they want to do is watch YouTube. All they want to do is be YouTubers. And my son wants to Twitch stream, and he's bless his heart, he sat down yesterday and said, I'm going to start Twitch streaming, because he knew how to set it up on the Xbox. And I had to shut him down pretty quick. And I tried to explain to him that I just don't feel comfortable insulating him from what he might experience from people interacting with him on the Twitch stream. And so this is the new, I'm glad that these guys are aware, because these kids, it's all they care about now. I'm sure your kids are the same. Mark, your kids are a little bit older, but you know,
they don't watch TV. TV is a thing of the past.
All they care about is Dan TDM, whatever YouTuber. They all want to be YouTubers. The whole landscape has changed, and this stuff is important. And a lot of people sit there and go, oh, you go, you know, we'll stop protecting everyone. You have to. It's not about us.
Well,
it's about
Charlie's watching some American family. They've just had a baby. He wanted to send them an email to congratulate them. And, you know, they do pranks as a family together and all this stuff. I don't know. It's just, he's so into it. You know,
it's ridiculous. All of these people wanting to be on Twitch and broadcasting and podcasting. I don't get it. It's dumb. It's totally stupid.
I know. Well,
nerds.
No, it's funny. We could be like that. I mean, we're not. I feel fairly progressive, but it's just that the checks and balances have to be in place, and it's moving at such a great pace. You know, I don't understand it. I'm sitting there watching my daughter all the time. She's watching these unboxing videos, toy videos, things like that videos. And she's watching another young boy and girl who are now becoming famous YouTubers who God knows what they talk about. How do they just
I saw a thing
nonsense?
On, yeah, there was a thing on Twitter the other day saying that a guy tweeted a picture of his 7-year-old's YouTube account and he had something like 17 million viewers. Or 17 million subscribers. And he's 7 years old. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a reality. As you're pointing out.
It's the real reality. It's the reality. It's reality television now delivered properly by the people and not the networks.
Right. And I think one of the biggest realities is that parents need to learn how to be parents. And I say that because I think far too many of younger parents these days are not being parents. They are letting their children be babysat by YouTube, be babysat by television, be babysat by games. They're not parenting. They're not taking the responsibility of being parents and what it means to be a parent.
I got to say, Greg, it is extremely difficult to police completely because
– not at all. That's what closets are for. That's what padlocks are for.
Okay, okay. Yeah. And when we do, I mean yes –
You only get in trouble when you get found out.
Yeah, I mean, our kids, they all have their iPads or Kindles, but, you know, some of the younger ones, they want to go straight to YouTube. We don't allow it. But even when they're watching Amazon, if they want to watch a film on Amazon or anything on Amazon, it's all password protected and they don't have access to that. But Charlie, when you get into that sort of 11, 12, 13 years old, it gets more and more difficult, and I dip in and out of what he's watching and what he's involved in, but it's so hard to police.
So Robin, in fair play, I get it's difficult to police, but
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it's a free for all in our house. Definitely not.
I know it's not. I've met you. I've experienced you interacting with your family. So I'm not throwing disparity towards you, or trying to be disparaging towards you. What I am saying though is there are a great many families out there that the parents don't parent. You know, you are parenting just in the simple fact that you are trying to pay attention to what they're looking at. You're not going to catch everything, but just as when I was a kid, my parents didn't catch everything I did, but my parents were active in my life. They took interest in what I was doing and they made a point of interacting with me. I think there are far too many parents out there that are doing fuck all, basically. They are letting their kids sit in their rooms for hours at an end. They don't care what they do outside of the house. They don't get involved with them at school. They don't get involved with what they're doing. So to me, that's the bigger problem.
Yeah, well,
Sorry,
this is a conversation I did not think we would have. By the way,
no, but it's a good conversation to have. But I've seen strides like this by Twitch, and then I know that I run YouTube on my computer anyway, a child friendly YouTube which filters out content, which I feel perfectly happy. And there's more in the news as well about people expecting YouTube to do more, so it's on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Yeah, but when we were kids. Fraser, when you were growing up, Sesame Street. But when we came home from school, it was like
Did you just say Greg lived on Sesame Street?
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah, explains
the
hair.
Big Brother's my neighbor.
Explains the hair. From 3 o'clock or half three until half past five, that was kids' TV because we had three channels, And we watched, and the 25 past five, the last thing that was on was Ivor the Engine. And that was it. But at half five, it was done. But that's the TV we got. And Saturday morning TV, that was Swap Shop. And that, or, you know, that was it.
I used to get up at half past eight every Saturday morning to watch Spider-Man cartoons. And then Swap Shop would be on straight after, yeah.
Look, do you know what? The original Swap Shop number, Greg has no idea what this is. The original Swap Shop number.
Oh, man.
01-01-811-8055.
Yeah.
That is always in my heart, okay? It's always there. And I lived in Northern Ireland, and some bastard in London always got through because he could make the big round dial on the phone go faster. I was going, and they always got through fast. I never got through. I wanted to swap my Skillex trick for an Action Man or something. I don't know. But anyway, that was all the TV that we had. We went outside and we played, and it's hard to get kids. The big thing now is hard to get them outside. They just want to get to those devices. They want to get to the iPads. They want to get onto the Xbox. Well, they want
to
watch.
In fairness to you, it's hard to get them outside up there because it's cold and raining all the time. However,
but you know what? Fair play. I don't think it was that much. I loved TV when I was a kid. I don't think.
Yeah, me too.
It's cool technology.
It is different. Yeah, it is. And
taps into the imagination.
If we could watch anything, we would probably watch it. But
Saturday morning cartoons in Canada. I remember those. My parents would drag us out. Now I see. I'm with Greg. See, I know this stuff.
The Herbert bunch. Yeah, get in there.
Take the guy, said Garber.
Anyway, I derailed.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah. So yes, as a parent, you just have. I have eight kids next week, and seven of them are in the age that this is a thing, and so you just have to keep an eye on it as best you can, and be responsible as much as you can, but not to completely strangle them because it's out there and they need to learn about this stuff as well, but try and keep
them they need to learn about it, no doubt, and I'm not trying to say don't allow them this technology or don't allow them to do this, but be involved with your kids.
Pretty sure I think
there's discipline that? Come Who on
anyway so right, the anyway. Xbox One's getting a completely new customizable interface.
Yes.
Well, wow.
This is actually a little bit of a surprise to me because, I mean, I thought that they kind of had gotten the Xbox dashboard to a pretty usable interface now. But they are running
like donkey shit at the moment. I think mine's running really, really bad.
Well, so here's one thing I have noticed. The more you download, the more games you have on your hard drive, the more that dashboard struggles.
I think also a part of it is my shitty connection. Because it's also polling on the internet to get the cover art for all of those games that I have. So because my connection's so shite, and if there's two or three other people doing something, which is always going on in our house, it chugs when I, looking at updates, it could take 5 minutes for my full list to be populated. It really is bad.
So we alluded to this. Microsoft is basically creating a new Xbox One dashboard experience. It's going to allow you to customize your home screen. You can manually add games right to your home screen. The system automatically drop related content like the developer news releases or show when your friends start playing that title. The guide supposedly is a little bit quicker. It's a smoother layout that aims to make navigation easier. So I haven't seen it yet in full function, so I don't know. I put a screenshot of it in there for.
I've got it on stream now. Windows Central's had a look at it, and I've got it on stream now.
There you go. Larry's about to hit 100,000 gamer score. Good lad, Larry. He's at nine at the screenshot. He's 999,039. He's got an odd 19 value.
Customization is a good thing. Hopefully this continues to better the experience for the dashboard. I know a lot of people, some people get along with the dashboard just fine. Other people find the dashboard clunky. I
think it's fine. It's good. I think it's good.
It's never bothered me too much.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Mark.
Yes.
We've got trivia.
Have we got trivia? Wow. Hang on a minute. Let me see. I'm on the wrong page. Here we go.
Actually, before we get to trivia, before we do that, slow your roll. Can we give a shout out to anybody in the chat?
No.
Okay, never mind. Let's go to trivia.
Yes, of course we can. Of course we can. We have Baron Von Glower in there. I've got Jason, Info the Bro, Martin. Hi, Martin. Sarah's in there. Teflon's there. Amris was there as well. And there was a few other names in there, like Rapid Kirby.
Yep.
Welcome to the chat, everybody. Chat away. These are there. Gently chatting. Martin says,
chatting.
RIPTV. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you know, it peaked at Crossroads. It peaked at Crossroads. Maybe all right. Neighbors. All right. Chat.
We ready for trivia?
Trivia.
It's time for the quiz. Yeah, you know what? Oh, too bad.
Trivia questions in from Jason Johnson. Thank you very much. Love it.
Thank you very much. Love it. All right, Jason Johnson has sent us in some trivia, but we also have a little bit of a note that came with the trivia, so I'm going to read that out to you. Hey, OC crew, so today is my daughter Emily's birthday. Happy birthday,
Happy
Emily.
Birthday, Emily!
So while we were having her party, I asked if anyone had any ideas for trivia. Oh dear Lord.
No.
My mother-in-law came up with how many streets are in Street Fighter? And me and my wife's little brother just about died laughing. So I thought I would share this with you guys. Have a great show. And Nicole, more love because she does an awesome job hosting. Yes, she does. So here we go. Trivia. From the Jason Johnson family. Here we go. First question. How many mobile/handheld Call of Duty games have been released? How many mobile and or handheld Call of Duty games have been released? Is it A, 12, B, 4, C, 8, or D, 10? 12, 4, 8, or 10. How many Call of Duty handheld or mobile games have been released? I do need to hear from Runt, Munt, and Funt.
3, 2, 1, 0. Give me your answers now, please.
All right. We have a few differing answers. Both Runt and Funt went with D. They have said there have been 10. And good old Munt said B4.
I didn't know there were many at all for Call of Duty for the mobile, but I bet there's loads. It's a money training.
Well, the good news or bad news, depending upon which side of this you sit, actually it's bad news for all of you, is none of you got it right. It is in fact C8. 8 Call of Duty games have been released to mobile handheld, and Jason has correctly and thoughtfully given us those games. It is Call of Duty Roads to Victory, Modern Warfare Mobilized, Black Ops DS, Black Ops Declassified, Zombies, Zombies 2, Strike Team, and rounding it out, Call of Duty Heroes.
I've not heard of a single one of them.
Well, there you go. Yeah, 8 yeah. Call of Duty handheld games have been released over the years, and I'm sure there will be a few more.
This is an educational podcast.
Educational. All right, here we go. Next question. Are you all ready? Just nod your head yes. In 1986, classic arcade game Rampage. You can play as one of three giant monsters. Lizzie, the Godzilla type, George, the giant King Kong type, or the giant werewolf whose name is... Is it A, Dave, B, Bill, C, Ralph, or D, Gertrude? What was the name of the giant werewolf in Rampage? A, Dave, B, Bill, C, Ralph, D, Gertrude, and I would like to add in This is a fantastic trivia question from Jason Johnson.
Yeah, because I know Lizzie. I know the first two, okay?
Alan, yeah, you the other King Kong one. I didn't know.
Oh,
honestly, Lizzie was the only one I knew for sure.
So give me the names again, please, Ralph.
So, all right, here we go. You've got D, Dave. Sorry, A, Dave. Fuck it. No letters. Here we go. Here's your four name choices. Dave, Bill, Ralph, or Gertrude. What is the name of the werewolf in Rampage? The 1986 version of Rampage, just in case there's any other versions with different names. 1986 classic arcade Rampage. The werewolf name, Dave, Bill, Ralph, or Gertrude. I need your answers now.
3, 2, 1, 0. Give me your answers now, please.
I've just gone for the most stupid name.
Love me some Rampage.
All right. Yeah. Let's see here. So Robin went with Ralph. We've got Munt, which is also known as Mark. And Mark, you said D, which is Gertrude. And Fraser Moores went with the C variety, also known as Ralph. Now, there's some excitement here. There is a correct answer on the board, and there is an incorrect answer on the board. The correct answer would be Ralph.
Yes!
Well done, Fraser and Robin. Yes, Ralph, the werewolf.
Ow, ow, ow!
Thanks, Martin.
Yes. Well done, Jason Johnson. That was a fantastic piece of trivia.
I'm sorry. It's really annoying. How many streets are there in Streets of Rage?
Streets of Rage? Street Fighter, I think it's just one. No, Streets of Rage. Yeah, he's right.
No.
I mean, was there more than Street Fighter?
No. His mother-in-law said, how many streets in Street Fighter? That's what he said. Didn't you?
Oh. Okay. Well, how many streets are there in Street Fighter? Is there more than one street? See? Mother-in-law is wise. Mother-in-law knows.
Next.
Clever mother-in-law.
Milk. All right.
Okay.
Did you just say,
oh my God.
Really? You went there?
I said Ralph. Ralph.
Oh, yeah, that's what
sure
I heard.
Did. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Robin. Robin, look forward to games coming up that we can spend our money on, our hard-earned cash. I would love for you to talk about those games coming up.
Okay, well, in August, between August the 12th and August the 18th, which should be next week, you can buy Agents of Mayhem on pretty much everything. You can buy City Skylines. You can buy
PS4. So it's coming out to the PS4 finally.
Matterfall on the PS4, Nidhogg 2 on the PS4 and PC, the big one we're all waiting for, Sonic Mania on everything, including Switch. That would be good on Switch.
This is supposed to be quite good, isn't it? Is this the one?
I don't know if it's
of...
quite good, but I know it's been highly anticipated.
It's Sonic the Hedgehog Vanilla Plus. And it has extras.
But I saw a little development thing on it. Did you see that on the... I can't remember what it was.
No, it didn't. But it's Sonic Plus.
Yeah, but... I'm just going to big it up a little bit. Because the thing I saw on it was that it's actually... They really harped on about it being quite a labor of love from real Sonic fans involved in the development.
Of course.
So, the person who's most excited about this...
Cynical Greg, and I appreciate it, and I'm one to love cynicism like that, Greg, but was actually, because Sonic 1 was great.
I loved Sonic, my Mega Drive.
And we've been disappointed so many times, I guess I'm just doing the typical, come on, be good!
I have an interest because of the book that I read or listened to earlier this year about the battle between Sega and Nintendo in the 80s. And it was already mostly focused on the Sega side, and Sonic was the savior, and were the fight between the Sega of America and Sega of Japan, and Sonic was the hero that was never meant to be in Japan, and it came from America, and just was something about it. I see your point, Fraser. I could see me wanting this.
It's a
piece of history.
It's an important title on that list.
Yeah.
far it's, more yeah, than this title. Just to skip over it.
Okay, so my thing on Sonic. Sonic is a one-trick pony. The first title was good because it was unique. It was different. It was different than Mario. And after that, no.
Yeah, but yeah. The problem with Sonic is, here we go, this is going to eat up 20 minutes. The problem is, though, you could say the same thing about Mario. Mario is a one-trick pony, but the IP was... Mario IP was handled and progressed and done with to the best it could possibly be done. Sonic, they just, you know, so many different types of games. They didn't just do a one-trick pony game. They had done lots of different types of Sonic games in different formats. Sonic Sonic. Stop. No, see, Greg, now you're doing it now. So stop. You're doing a meme. Okay. All right?
Sorry, Baron Von Glor. It has blast processing. Superb. Absolutely excellent.
Sonic All-Star Racing is fantastic. A great racer. IP done well. IP done very, very well.
I will say Sonic got his love interest on, I think, prior to Mario. So Sonic was getting involved with the humans.
Lost in memory. We can't I don't know what he's talking about now.
Neither do I.
Let's go.
I got to say, again, going back to Audible, just to get the name of that book.
Can we finish a new releases, please? It's called
Console Wars, and it's about the battle between Sega and Nintendo. It is really, really full-on nerd if you're a 30-plus person or into this at all. Well worth a listen. It's fascinating how that company imploded on itself and how... If it had some decent management, it would have still been here and is strong today. And the final game that you can get on August the 15th is Sudden Strike 4 for the PS4. So right.
This is an RTS game that's out on PC already. So PS4 doesn't have any RTS as far as I know. So there you go. Come back to me, Robin. Come on.
sorry, RTS, sorry.
Yes.
Okay. You do have loads of monthly freebies. You've got Slime Rancher and Trails Fusion.
I can tell you right now, kids have been playing the Slime Rancher out of Slime Rancher.
Yeah, it's a perfect kids game. Yeah. So Slime Rancher and Trails Fusion for the Xbox One. Bayonetta.
Kyle last week just said it was shit.
Yeah, but
yes,
it is. It's a perfect sort of kids game.
I heard that.
It's sort of Titan, our Team Fortressy style, cartoony type graphics and herding blobby things around. Yeah, it looks like fun. But kids, for the 360 backwards compatible, you have Bayonetta and Red Faction Armageddon. And for the PS Plus for August, Just Cause 3, cool, Assassin's Creed Freedom Cry, which is DLC.
Freedom Cry.
Yeah, That's You, which is a silly little party game. But worth a look. Super Mother
Load. Have you played it? It's like Jackbox.
Use your phone.
Yeah, I was going to fire that up this morning, but I realized I need an app for it.
Yeah. Super Mother Load, which Amaras is excited about for PS3. Snake Ball for PS3. Downwell for PS Vita. And Level 22 for PS Vita. What was that pop group from the... Is it Level... Level 21? No, what were they? Level 42.
Oh,
yeah. There you go. Level anyway, those are your sort of freebies. Mark, talk about some play dates.
Yeah, so last week we had the Halo 5, which was a great success. This week, tomorrow, Sunday the 13th of August, I will be hosting Forza Horizon 3. So if you see me or any of the podcasts, people on Forza Horizon 3, jump in the party, jump in the game. Don't be shy. Just pop in there and we'll have a bit of driving
fun.
Don't
be shy. Yeah. Your mother was.
And next week, as we have just worked out on this podcast, we are doing Prominence Poker on the Xbox One. So that's 20th of August.
Is it free?
I'm going to name him now. Greg is going to host that.
I saw that. Yes, I'll host that. I'll be on. I'll be playing some Prominence Poker.
Yeah. So, come and lose all your chips to Uncle Greggles.
Yeah, pink slips only. We're playing for pink slips.
Yeah, we've got the ongoing Golf Club 2 challenges in the Xbox One's VG Hub Society. And I'll just have to get WhatsApp up because it's on here with the latest results. The last event was the Boss Wave event, and in fourth place, Orty 84.
It's a shit course.
With plus 17. You didn't finish it, did you?
No, I didn't play it.
In joint second, we've got Womble and Taffman. We've both got a plus 4. And the winner of that round is Greg's best friend, the real D4, who got a minus 2. So well done, Gary. So, yeah, ooh, keep an eye out in the society for the next challenge, and we'll.
Yeah, Gary's another week. One. He's more PUBG, please, Gary. Where have you been?
PUBG for life.
He's been managing fantasy football, for the record.
Actually, he's been managing a puppy. That's, I think, one of the things, too.
Yeah, he's got a new puppy. New Labrador.
All right.
So, yeah, so that's it for the playdates and challenges.
All right, Fraser.
Yes.
Fraser, I would love for you to talk about this Year of Living game, Drisley, because I know you're very much into it.
I am into it.
Important.
Being one of the people right at the forefront of progression.
Forefront.
Even sneaking in a couple of hundred hours of another game, I'm still right up there near the top. If you don't know what the Year of Living game, Drisley, is, where have you been? 30 games a lot of us have committed to getting off our pile of shame.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Organized by our dear Robin, a roaring success, and I do urge, I'm just looking at the dates in red there, next contest, what's the kind of, that's the contest just for victories achieved.
Yeah.
It's not that complicated. We run Victory Achieved, so when you finish a game, just post on Twitter with the hashtag Victory Achieved to _OC Podcast what you finished in a picture of yourself with the end credits. Somebody on the podcast, I have no idea who sorts out who the winner is once picked randomly. I think it's Mr. Mark, right?
No, it's Mr. Robin.
I can tell you, Greg's pointing at you. Greg's pointing at you right now.
Well, I was pointing at Robin on my screen.
And that's what we do. But the YOLG is running where we are tracking those of us who've committed to getting a list of mostly 30 games.
It's always watching. It's always judging you, watching
it's the
you,
monkey. That's the monkey on the back. That's the monkey on the back. So we have a list here of those who've completed games, and I will go through those now. Gunslinger 1983 finished Halo Combat Evolved. Welcome to the 21st century. Mr. Miyagi 1984 finished Drive Club when you and your mates. We like that one.
You and your mates.
L3 Et finished Legend of Zelda Wind Waker. Chinny finished the game that is
V-Core. Did you really just read that out as L3 Et?
What is it?
Elite.
Yeah, it's Chris.
It's Chris?
Chris. He works for Ford Games.
Yeah, he's a ginger. It's all right.
All right. Okay. Oh, okay. Understood. John Mouse finished Killzone Mercenary.
John Mouse, who looks like Fraser with a beard.
Shouldn't it be like two threes? Why would you mix up a three and a small E?
Because he's
ginger.
Because he's ginger. This is the mind of a game designer. John Mouse finished Killzone Mercenary. Jay Nezzi, Telltale Batman. John Mouse again finished Lara Croft Temple of Osiris. These are all Yogs, by the way. DNOC TQ finished Dark Souls 3, and nice. Dastardly Jabby finished Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. That's quite an old one to be going back to as well.
Yeah, I think it was like a remaster one. Played.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yep. And then we have the non-Yogers. Gunslinger again finished Minecraft Story Mode Episode 6.
Thin. And
what's that, Half Point?
Thin, very thin.
Yeah. Episode 6, that is super thin, eh? Yeah,
that's thin.
Mm-hmm. Come back when you finish the whole thing. Andy Banginwagon finished The Witcher 3, New Game Plus Death March, Cyball 27 finished Limbo and Inside. Oh, double hitter there. Amras finished Codename Steam, and Richard Natrast finished Fucking Knack.
And I'm not on here. Mark finished... Mad Max, it was updated this morning, and I finished SteamWorld.
Technically, one might even say that I finished PUBG by getting my chicken dinner. Solo,
yeah.
Yeah. There you go. It's going well.
All right. Well, kids, thank you for that, Fraser. And well done to everybody that finished games. I think you deserve a jingle, a special little something. You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved.
Ho ho.
That was almost like we planned that. All right. This is the time of the show. It's where we kind of are going to shut things down, folks. We've been talking for a while. We've been hopefully entertaining you.
As Negan would say, we need to shut that shit down.
We do need to shut this shit down. We do have a few things we do need to get off our chest. So, Mark, please. Yes.
Oh, am I playing this now?
I think you are.
All right, okay.
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
All right. And she speaks the truth. That was gets me every time.
Yeah, it's quite. No, I'm not going to say it.
Let's just say, quickly, I think we're all very excited right now.
Stop it, Robin. Loins moving.
Stop it. All right. So, yeah.
You don't need help.
We need a lot of help.
And you can catch us every week on twitch.tv/OC podcast. I'm going to move this along, Greg, because you're all slacking tonight. Mixer.com/OC podcast and youtube.com/OverseasConnectionPodcast. We broadcast 11 PM UK time, 3 PM West Coast and 6 PM East Coast every Saturday. We've got clubs on Xbox One. We've got a podcast community on PS4. We've got a podcast group on Steam, and we have the wonderful Discord Overseas Podcast server. If you want an invite to that, it is discord.ocpod.com.
Oh God, Discord!
Yeah. Where would you be without Discord now, Fraser? We
I know. I love you, Mark.
It's a love hate.
Resist.
Resist. Never have we been so wrong. To eat crow.
Resist. Resist.
I always knew it was going to be a thing. I just didn't want
You're to. Such That's a liar.
There's also that.
Yeah.
All right. This has been a show. I think we can safely say we have done our duty. So let us pass around some shout outs. Anybody you want to give a special shout out to? Anybody you want to maybe not give a shout out to? But this is your time. Robin, why don't you start us off?
Okay. Happy birthday to Courtney from earlier on this week. Burp, 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 burp. Quick shout out to James Bonding. It's a podcast, and they've done an excellent episode. It's Matt Mara from Matt Mara. He's a comedian. Good guy. But they do an excellent tribute episode about Roger Moore, and they go through all the Roger Moore Bond movies. Very, very, very good. And just a quick reminder again, the Friday night of EGX in Birmingham, and just a few weeks away, the VG Hub crew, that's veteran gamers, Boss Waves, everybody's around, are coming around. I think John Mouse is now coming. We're going to eat some pizza, have some beer, all get together on the Friday night. Everyone is welcome, but please either contact myself or Mark or anybody from the podcast, or if your preference is some of those veteran gamers guys or Boss Waves, they'll all be there. Just let us know so we can sort out some numbers.
Yeah,
but everyone is welcome.
We need to book it, don't we?
So if there's going to be a lot, or just there's six, well, there'll be at least 8 or 10 of us.
Yep.
So, and if there's more the merrier, and let's make a night of it. It might be a bit of a road crash, but anyway, yep, that's me. Thanks for podcasting, guys. Great to have Fraser on again. I don't like the beard. Fraser, speaking of which, over to you. Go on.
Thanks very much, guys. It's nice to be podcasting with you again. Good laugh, as always. And that's probably just give a shout out to my PUBG buddies for life. Yes. Shall I read out some names? Here we go. Are you ready? Ben needs more cowbell. Chinny's guy he works with. Dan Netman, Dave Biles, Dave Fulu, David Morton, Gary DeFelici, Gary Lever, Jay Wright. Yes. Mark Enix. Yeah, that's your son. Great. You know what? I got to give some proper props, right? I don't know whether he's going to be listening, all right? But when you get, when you listen to the pod, okay, when you listen to the podcast, right, you get the impression from the banter back and forth from Mark's house that Jay might be a little bit annoying, and Jay, Mark's always swearing at him, whatever, right? But I tell you what, he's the nicest guy when he plays PUBG with us. He's a really good teammate. He's good at the game. He's great fun. Really enjoy playing with him.
He's,
solid.
He's been doing a lot of streaming lately with random squads, and he communicates with the random people real like he does with you guys. He's really polite. He shares all resources and helps out and that. Yeah, he's surprises me.
He's a chip. He's a chip off the nicest.
Don't let him know. He might be listening. In fact,
he's got his headphones on.
I know, but look, we call Mark the nicest guy on the internet. So you can see his son's as nice as pie. I don't know. It's amazing. Okay. Who else do we have? Joe Shep, Sloppy Wet Blow, Kevin Fairweather, Kev, Mark Kennex, Mike Chin, Neil Isaac, Robin, Tate is in the group. I don't know why. Why are you in this WhatsApp group? Sean Cross is another. Comment. We have another
three Seans, haven't we?
a new Scotsman, Sean McKechnie and Sean Hassel. Great. Good stuff, guys. There you go. Mark.
I've had a long week this week because Jay Canucks, it's been my winding down week this week, so I'm off for a couple of weeks now. So what's helped me through this week, because each day seems to drag on longer and longer. So I've been listening to loads of podcasts, so I'm going to go through a lot of podcasts I've been listening to. Sadly, Game Pushers have been out since 22nd of July. Come on, Fraser, pull your finger up.
It's not me.
Yeah, I know. Veteran Gamers.
No, seriously, we can talk this one out. It's not me.
Boss Wave haven't been out for a while neither. But yeah, Veteran Gamers.
That's not me either.
Boss Wave, yeah, I know. Pedamella Show, Backup Show, Entertain Nerds, Games of an RPG, Last Save Loaded, Respawn Kings, Midlife Gamer, and The Same Coin. So thank you guys for your awesome podcast. Keep up the good work, and over to Greg.
Well. This has been fun. This has been enjoyable. I want to thank the three of you for taking your time out of your busy lives, growing beards, producing podcasts, drinking random crappy beers. I appreciate all three of you for taking your time to spend time with me today and have a little laugh, have a little sharing of our joy, video games. I want to thank the listeners, because without you, we are just four guys actually, talking about video games. That, well, it makes it just that much more fun when we have the interaction of our listeners. So thank you to all of you. I was going to try and make this much more meaningful than it's actually going to be. So with that said, thanks. Come back next week. We'll be here. We hope you will too. And that's a show.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
People say,
come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.